Welcome, everyone. This is Thursday Morning Healing School at High Point Church, and I am excited to have every one of you here today. God bless each and every one of you. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yep.
Get your Bibles out. It's going to be a good one today. So let's open our Bibles, and let's start in 2 Corinthians. Okay, so we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to go into chapter 4. So what I want to talk to you about today, let me give a little background before I go right into where I want to talk about today. How many of you absolutely receive everything you ask the Lord for? It's a little iffy, isn't it? It's a hard question, isn't it? Some things you do, some things you don't. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Most of the time I do, sometimes I don't. And it's difficult at times. And there are reasons why the devil has veiled our eyes. Do you realize that it's been the devil that has veiled your eyes? It's not that you are incompetent, that you are less than anybody else, or that you maybe somehow are deficient in some area. That is absolutely not true. You have absolutely everything that anybody has in the spirit. But it's the devil who tries to blind the hearts and the minds, our eyes. So today we're going to talk about opening our blind eyes. I'm not talking about naturally blind people. I'm talking about people who their eyes in the spirit are not open yet. Is that any of you?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that was a resounding silence. Praise the Lord. Let's begin, shall we? So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to start in verse 13. Are you ready? All right. Unlike Moses, who put a veil, I'm starting right in the middle of this. Y'all guys know this is talking about the glory of God and how how this comparison is being made, that it's not through the letter, but it's through the spirit. Amen? Life doesn't come from the black and white or the red and white. It comes from the spirit. But the black and white tells us about the things that are available in the spirit. So it's not by the black and white. The letter kills. In other words, rules and tit for tat kills. But the living life of the Holy Spirit is where life is actually at. So now they're talking about the glory of Paul. Paul is talking about the glory of Moses when he entered into the presence of Jesus. You guys know this story very well, right? And when he was up in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord got on his skin. Amen? And that glory, like a sponge, like a good Florida beach sunny morning, his skin soaked up the sun, S-O-N, amen? And his skin actually projected the light of God when he came down off of the mountain. So as his skin projected the light of God off of his mountain, of course, everybody saw the glory of God on him, and so they hung on his every word, and whatever he said, absolutely, it was as God himself was speaking, right? Because the glory was on him. But that glory was fading away, so they put a veil over his face, right? We know the story. And the veil started fading, the glory started fading, so that he can still have that same authority, but they wouldn't quite know when it had departed yet, okay? So they put a veil over Moses' face so they couldn't see that glory anymore. And they would still honor him as the authority. But the Bible says here that we have a greater glory that's even greater than the glory that Moses had on top of his skin, because the glory we have is inside of us, right? And it says it excels. It goes beyond. So as much as the glory that Moses had on his skin and in his skin, ours is much greater and much bigger because it's in us, okay? So that's what they're talking about here. So in verse 13, it says, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. So let's stop for a second. Let's talk about the veil, okay? So this veil that Moses had, a physical veil, so they could not see the glory. So what's the veil do? Covers what? The glory. The veil hides the glory. So the glory was there, but the veil hid the glory. You guys get that, right? So you and I are about to be located in this teaching today. It's going to be really exciting. You're going to really love your mirrors after today, I got to tell you. So the veil actually is what blocks human eyeballs from seeing the glory of God, right? And so we all had veils on our eyes that we couldn't see the glory of God either because we were carnal, right? It's just a bunch of rules and regulations, Old Testament, right? The law is dead. There's no life in the law. And that law, living by the legalism of the law and the rules and all that stuff, blinds us to the glory of God. We can't see it. But when we turn to Christ, the veil is removed, right? It says the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ, verse 14. So what does that enable us to do if the veil is taken away? To see the glory. Okay, let's get real here. When Moses was there in front of the people, did they actually see the glory? Yes. They were carnal, natural people that actually saw the glory on him because he was in the presence of God. The real glory, his skin shined, shineth upon. It, radiated light, okay? They saw it. That's why he had to put the veil, because it was fading, so they put the veil, a physical veil, over him because there was physical glory on him that was diminishing, right? So they actually saw it. Okay, so if the veil is taken away in us, do we actually get to see the glory? He says yes. Anybody else say no? Tough one, huh? Breaks. Ah. All right, time to think about this a little bit. I read over this all the time. But do I actually think it's true? Or do I automatically just say, oh, I'm there because I got born again. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. God saved me from my sins, so I have eternal life. I'm going to be in heaven. Do you actually believe this? That it says, in their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Verse 15, but even to this day when Moses is read, the veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Right? So I'm going to stop right there for a second. I want to let you know something. I think that you see already. I believe that your veil is taken away. And I believe that you do see. I absolutely believe that. Because with what eyes are we seeing here? They saw natural glory with natural eyes, right? But it didn't say the veil was taken off of our natural eyes. It says the veil lies where? On our hearts. Our minds are blinded and on our hearts, right? So when that veil is taken away, when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the veil is taken away from us. And now we can see the glory of the Lord. Let's keep reading. I'm going to go real slow here for just a minute. Verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17, Now the Lord, what does your Bible say? Is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, what? Okay, what does liberty mean? Freedom. Freedom. Remember Braveheart? That was great. Pretty graphic, but a good movie. Freedom. Amen. So it says that now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Geographically, where are they talking about? Where is the Lord? And so where's the freedom at? Yes! You guys, straight A's. Straight A's. Let's keep going. Verse 18. But we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror. In other words, the blinders have been taken off of our hearts, right? So we can see reflected the glory of the Lord. Where are we seeing the glory at? In us, right? Because the veil's taken off, that my heart is no longer blinded, that I can see the glory of the Lord. Where? In me. In me. Because when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and now when I turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can see His glory in me. Let's keep reading and then I'll back up. It says verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. So, freedom. I'm going to just leave it at that right now. But we all, verse 18, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are what? Are being transformed into what? From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The word by there is the word apo in the Greek. It means off of or away from. So in other words, when we turn to the Lord, who is the Spirit, where there's freedom, when we turn to the Lord, when the blinders are off of our hearts and our minds, and we turn towards the Lord, we are in communion with the Lord there, then off of His Spirit, we are transformed into the exact same Spirit. Okay? If I took a little bit of red dye in a bottle, and I got myself a little glass of water, and I took some of that red dye, and I poured it in the water, what color would the water be? Why? Because it came off of or out of the red dye bottle, right? So as I turn to the Lord, I'm being transformed. I'm being absolutely changed into the same Spirit. Okay, we're still plowing shallow right now, guys. I can tell it's a little bit harder. I know we say these things all the time, but when we really get our own personal mental picture of what's going on here, okay, we need to plow a little deeper right now. So I can say the words that, oh yeah, I'm the same Spirit as God. I'm one Spirit. I'm joined to the Lord and I'm one Spirit with Him. And Jesus prayed that we would be one just as they are one, right? Amen. Hallelujah. But when I walk out there, that's not my experience. Sometimes. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. So here's the thing. When the veil is lifted off of your heart and you see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as your glory, you're transformed into that same glory. You have to see that. You must. You can't just be words. You have to actually see that who Jesus is who I am. Everything of Him is me. Listen, this isn't easy when it comes down to the real deal. It's really easy to say these words until you're standing face to face with a problem, a situation, a pain, an anxiety, a fear, a stronghold, a situation, an emergency. Then is it you know for a fact who you are? Or do you got to quickly pray real quick and get yourself all straightened back out again and then get to the Lord and maybe ask him to help you out here? Okay? All right, go ahead. Shout hallelujah, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one in the room. Praise the Lord. You can hear a pin drop in here. Lots of thought going on right now. Listen, we've read these a million times. I know that. But I got to get this before I can go to the next one. All right? So let's read it one more time from verse 14 through 18. And let's hang on every word as we go. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, that's today, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. I got to get this because I can see some of your hearts don't see it yet. They do not see this. And I want to help you. Some of your hearts absolutely do not see the glory of the Lord in you. And I want to help you because we're moving on and I don't want anybody left behind. It's important. Do not let condemnation, do not let inferiority, insecurities, problems, the past, what my mom told me, what my dad did to me, don't let any of that rob you. It says the glory of the Lord are being transformed, changed into the same exact identical image. From glory to glory, just as off the Spirit of the Lord. Can I go on? Do we need to linger some longer? I'm happy to linger here the entire time. Listen, we have taught on this and taught on this and taught on this and read this and read this and read this. And I asked the Lord about it. And you know what he said to me? Here's what he said that broke my heart this morning. He said, the people that you're praying for still do not accept my goodness, how good I am. We still are looking at ourselves instead of at the goodness of God and what he's given us. I'm talking to everybody that's watching this on Facebook and on the internet also. It's not just the people in this room. Do you really see yourselves as the exact image of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you actually being transformed into that exact same image? Or is there something blocking you and won't let you accept this as real and true? Let's go on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Robert. Thank you for this. This is one of the best messages I ever heard. I'm so excited on the inside of me. I'm leaping up and down. Praise God. All right, let's go to chapter 4, verse 1, shall we? Praise the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have a ministry. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. We do not let any shame remain inside of us. We turn it loose. We give it up. We turn away from it. Because now we know that we are the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to turn loose of anything that is shaming us, embarrassing us, disqualifying us. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. But by manifestation of the truth. But by manifesting the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by trying to get it from him. How does it say it comes? Off the Spirit of the Lord. Right? It's through fellowship with him. The more we fellowship with him, the more he rubs off on us. Right? We in communion with him, he rubs off on us. We in his loving, good presence, it rubs off on us. That as he is, so am I. That whatever he is, that fullness of who he is who I am. And as I release myself from the hidden things of shame, from handling the word of God, twisting it to say what I need it to say, but really looking at it at face value, and I let go of these things, that I manifest the actual glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. They can't see the glory of the Lord. They don't know who they are. They don't know that Jesus set them free too. They have no idea. But by you and I manifesting this glory, they can start seeing it that way, right? Because it's coming off of you and I. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, could shine on them. Gosh. Is it just me, or do I think this is really good scripture right here? This is really good scripture. It is deep. But you know what? It's been around for 2,000 years. And it's been written for well over 1,000. I don't even know how many years it's been written. That was in the Bible when my great-great-great-granddaddy was reading the Bible. That was in the Bible. We read it all the time. We just go right over the top of it. But this is really important. That our eyes have to actually see us. My eyes of my heart has to actually see me as the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same residing glory as Jesus has, I have. Same Holy Spirit entirely. Okay. So it's the God of this world who has blinded their eyes so that they can't see, right? It's the spirit of this age, right? It's the Antichrist spirit, because it's the spirit of Christ that we resonate, we shine, right? So that people realize that we've been with Jesus because we resonate the same glory as he has. We say the same words that he has. We do the same things that he does. Because that's who we are. That's, if you see yourself a certain way, that's who you are. So how do you see yourself? When you look in the mirror, what do you say about yourself? What do you see? When you're by yourself, what do you see about yourself? When you sit quiet and look in your own heart, what do you see? Is it the blazing glory of the Lord Jesus Christ just shining on you? How exciting, because that's exactly who we are. So, we have this, in verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Right? This is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that's shining on us. Without His Spirit shining on us, it isn't going to happen. Right? Without the relationship with Jesus, it isn't going to happen. You're not going to shine in the glory because it comes off His Spirit. It comes by the Holy Spirit of God, right? So we're being transformed through being in a relationship with God, not by being on our own. Not by being on our own. Oh my goodness, you guys. Oh, Bruce, get the camera going. This is great. Oh, get the camera going. This is great. Oh my gosh, you guys, listen to me. What can be withheld from you if the very Spirit of God is in you? What can be withheld from you? Really, nothing. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. We said this last week. To him who believes. Nothing. Listen, you don't have to try to get this. You don't have to try to qualify for it. You already have it. It's already who you are. That's why the God of this world is trying to blind your heart and your eyes. He's trying to veil it from you. Because it's really who you are already. You don't have to become it. You are it. When your eyes were opened the first time, that's it, too late. It is over. 2 + 2 = 4. And I know that 2 + 2 = 4, and you're never going to take that away from me. I know it's true. You are the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that He is, so are you, because it comes from His Spirit, and His Spirit is in you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never, ever turn you loose. And there's absolutely nothing that can snatch you out of His hand. Nothing. It's the fact, Jack. You and I are absolutely free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom!
Braveheart. Love that movie. Amen. Freedom. Not bondage. He did not give us a spirit unto bondage, did He? No. But of what? Power. What else? Love. What else? Sound mind. Okay, stop. Just stop. You've got what? Power. Who has the power? I have the power because the Spirit of God is in me. I have the power. Right? What about love? Is it in you? Absolutely. Why? Because God is what? And His Spirit is in you. So guess what? The fullness of the love of God dwells in you. It's not hidden from you. Because if you look in the mirror, you can see it. You're allowed to look in the mirror and say, God loves you. God really loves you. God's filled you with power. You got it. Shine, baby, shine. Because you got it. And a sound mind. What's a sound mind? Clear thoughts. Clear thought. You can trust your clarity of being able to see and to know. He's given that to you. You don't have to get it. It's yours already. So as that is true and you're walking that out in your life, what can a man or a woman do to you? Absolutely nothing. But we must be able to see ourselves that way. I'm not saying fabricate something that's not true and imagine what's not true and try to make it real. That is absolutely not what I am talking about. I am talking about believing God and agreeing with Him and saying what He says until you see it yourself, knowing that the God of this age is trying to blind your hearts and your minds and your eyes from seeing you just like you see Jesus. This is exciting stuff, you guys. But you got to get in the Bible and you got to see it as real and you got to own it. Okay, so is God blocking you from seeing into the spiritual realm? He's not. He's really not blocking you at all. Do you think He's kind of encouraging us to go there a little further? Because I want to let you know. You may not realize it, but if you stood next to someone that was absolutely enslaved in darkness, you would very quickly see that you really do see, that you really do own it, that you really have the glory of the Lord. You will see a night and day difference between you and some utterly, absolute, corrupt individual that has no knowledge of God at all. You'll notice it. But because we hang around with Christians and because we insulate our lives, because we don't like confrontation and we don't like things to go in a different way, we insulate ourselves and it's harder to see how much glory we really do have, because it's common and it's normal. But when you get around real darkness, you'll realize you do shine. You absolutely shine. But we need to cultivate it more, because the day is coming and will soon be upon us when you need to have confidence in who you actually are. And I want to let you know, you're not alone. Don't even think you're going to be alone trying to handle this, because the Lord said what? His Spirit is in us. It's Him that does the work, and the power's of Him and not of you and I, right? So in those moments, as we stay in close fellowship with the Lord, it's Him who erupts out of us. It's Him who puts powerful words inside of us. It's Him who causes His light to shine. It's Him. Okay? You're not on your own. A clay vessel with nothing in it is just an empty clay vessel. You're full. You have the glory, the Spirit of God in you. Absolutely, completely in you. All right, let's look at a couple different verses. Go to 2 Kings 6. Okay, we can just go ahead and go there. 2 Kings 6, great example here in the Bible. This is in 2 Kings 6, starting in verse 8, but we're going to go ahead and read down. I'm just going to give you the overview of the story and read 16 and 17. So we'll put 16 and 17 up on the screen. This is 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is about Elijah and his servant and the king of Syria who's making war against Israel, right? And the king of Syria is so angry because whenever he's plotting to trip up Israel, the Lord would tell Elijah what was going on, and then he would tell the king of Israel, and he would go a different way and not ever fall into the trap, right? Well, the king of Syria is so very, very angry with him. They finally work out a deal to where they're going to get to be where Elijah is and his servants there. And so the army comes, and it's surrounding them. And the servant is freaking out. He's like you and me. He's the guy that we look out the window and we go, they are rioting in the streets of Macon. They're burning buildings. They are fighting and throwing stones and bricks. They are tearing down our city. And then you walk up. And you walk downtown and you go, there are more with us than with them. Amen? And you show up, and I'm telling you, everybody's panicking in downtown Macon, but you walk over there and say, calm down. There are so many more with us than with them. You know what? And the people down there are looking around going, what the heck were you drinking? Can't you see how many people there are? And you say, Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes. Verse 16. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha, sorry, I said Elijah, it's Elisha. Elisha. Huh. That's a different perspective, isn't it? Huh. So that means that when you show up on the scene, because your eyes are open, because you're not blind to the things of the kingdom of God, because the veil's been removed from you, the Spirit of the Lord is in you, and you're being changed into the same image from glory to glory. The exact identical same is you're becoming, because he's with you. He's showing you, he's training you, he's teaching you that when troubles come, are you focused on the physical, what's happening? Or are you the person who lives in the spiritual realm and walks a physical life on the earth? That you know who's around you in the spirit. That you're aware of that and you live from that position and point of view. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16, it says that we once knew Jesus according to the flesh, but now we don't look at him that way. This is Robert paraphrasing. We don't look at him that way anymore. We look at him from a spiritual point of view. Are you with me? So we don't look at any person from a flesh point of view. We don't look at the riots from a flesh point of view. Right? Old things, that old way of looking at things according to just the natural physical way of looking at it has passed away. All of it. That is not the way we do it anymore. And all things have become brand new because now we're looking from a spiritual realm. We're participants of the kingdom of God and the realm of the heavenlies now while we walk on the earth. Oh, yes. Thank you, Pastor Robert, for this wonderful message. I told you, you're going to love your mirror after today. We're going to locate each and every one of us. Okay? It's easy to say, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. Robert, they're rioting outside of the streets. I got to go. No. You turn around and go, I'll handle it. Off you go. That takes really being awake. That takes really actually knowing who you are. That takes actually being able to see into the heavenly realm to know the fiery horses and chariots are with you and the angels are with you and that whatever you say, God backs it up because God's with you. Isn't this exciting? It is, but our eyes must be open. Our eyes must be open. Go with me to John chapter 12. You guys, the rubber meets the road. How do I say this? It's easy to fool ourselves and say we're spiritual. But when troubles come, we get to see how much of it we own and how much we have to roll over onto God. God, you handle it. It's too big for me. God, help, help, help. Because you're not there yet. Okay? I'm not condemning anyone. We start where we're at right now. Okay? But we really are changed. We really are transformed. We really are new. Looking at things from a human point of view has passed away. You can't do that anymore. I mean, you can. You shouldn't. Now it's time to operate according to the Spirit. So, chapter 12. Verse 38. Sorry. Oh, this guy knew. He knew. I don't know how he knew. All right. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? I really wonder how many actually believe what I'm telling you right now, even though it's written in the book. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's the authority of God. Who believes what I'm telling you right now, and how many of you actually can own the authority that God has given you by being with you? He's given you his authority. Oh, this is pretty exciting. To whom has it been revealed? I don't know. Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I may heal them. This says that God blinded their hearts and their minds, doesn't it? It says this. It says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Well, how can you expect me to see, Pastor Robert, if God's the one that blinded my heart and mind? Right? Guess what? They did it. They did it themselves. They are the ones that blinded their hearts and minds. Let's go over to a different book. John chapter 9. I don't know if I wrote this down right. Oh, I wrote the wrong scripture down, I think. John 9:39. Yeah, that's the wrong scripture. Okay. Well, darn it. Maybe I still have it in my notes over here. Give me one quick second. Sorry for the delay, you guys. Mark 8. Let's try Mark 8 and see if that one will work. Long, silent, uncomfortable pause. Okay. Yeah, we can use this one, but this isn't the one I was using. Mark 8, 18. This one talks about having their eyes open, they do not see, and having ears, they do not hear. And do they not remember about the miracles that Jesus did? In other words, he did all the miracles, but they couldn't comprehend them, so they quickly forgot about it. and he's reprimanding them for this. I'm sorry, I forgot where it's at. Maybe my string is there. It is. Praise the Lord. Ha, ha, ha. All right, I was starting to sweat it for a minute there, you guys. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Oh, this is so much better when you got the right verse there. It goes way better. All right, ready? So 13, starting in verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." Right? That's the revelation. So it says, "For whoever to him has more will be given, and to him, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing," that means seeing through their natural eyes, "they do not see. And hearing with their natural ears, they do not hear, nor do they understand." It says, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, what says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive,'" not get it. "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes," or their ears, "are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." That's why he talks to them in parables. So what's the point of this? There is sight and hearing and understanding with our hearts that is not based in this natural world. They closed their ears and their eyes and their hearts grew dull, and they only paid attention to the natural realm as reality. And they chose to live in that and the rules of this natural realm as their solid reality, their first position reality. And therefore, they needed to be healed. They were broken. They were sick. They had all kinds of problems because their identity was based in this natural realm where there's no life of God in the natural realm. The life of God comes from the spiritual realm, right? That our hearts would be turned towards Him in the Spirit. And that's where the life comes. Since Jesus was operating in the Spirit, that's why the power would flow out into the world, because He was operating from the spiritual realm. And from the spiritual realm, the power flows through Him into the natural world. And that's how everybody got healed. But if their eyes and their ears were closed and their hearts were dull, they couldn't even understand what Jesus was saying or doing. So when you walk out into the riots and you tell everybody, "Stop!" and everyone stops because God and heaven are with you, you're operating on an entirely, "Lord, open his eyes so they can see." Okay, I'm building on what we were talking about last week, that the glory of God is actually in you. The power of God is in you. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But you have to see yourself as that person and be in a relationship with Him to operate in these things. Isn't this exciting? Oh, this is really exciting. This is really a Selah moment, isn't it? So I get to locate myself and see if my eyes are actually opened, if my ears are actually opened, if my heart is awake or dull. How exciting is this? How do you wake up your heart if it's dull? You praise the Lord. You worship God. You talk to Him and listen to Him talking to you. You just feed the relationship. That's all you do. Just feed the relationship and know that you already are it. And that as you walk in this stuff, more and more and more will it be revealed through exercising it, through participating in it. And then when troubles come, they don't come near you. They will come, but they don't touch you. Because you're in the presence of God. You're filled with the power of God. How exciting is this? I see these wheels just a-turning and a-turning in everybody. Turning and a-turning. You know that? Listen, by faith, just believe me. Lay your hands on people. Speak life over them. Rejoice in the Lord. Raise your hands to Him. Sing out loud. Dance around. Dance around, dance around, dance around. Oh, I almost told you something about my family, and I can't because I haven't asked permission. Darn it. Anyway, I'll say it this way. You ever been around somebody? Well, if you guys have seen Facebook, you saw the video that Liz put of me up there dancing. You know, how embarrassing was that for me? But you know what? It put a smile on my face because of the joy. Because you dance like nobody's watching. Worship like nobody's watching. Praise like nobody hears you. And just bust out. Because the Spirit of the Lord has given you what? Freedom. Liberty. Take your freedom. Throw off the bondages. Just bust out and enjoy the relationship with God. And more and more and more will you flourish and will grow. And you'll see more and be able to do more and more and more. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for everybody in the room and our listening audience, Father. And I just ask that this word be able to sink down into our hearts so we can really start confidently, Lord, living from the kingdom of God while we walk in this realm, Lord, with our eyes really open, with our ears actually open. And Father, that we don't rationalize down to the natural again, but Father, instead we perceive and are awake to the heavenly realms and our participation in all of it, Lord, that we are spiritual. And Father, I just ask that you would minister to each and every person that when we read our Bibles, Lord, that the light of life would come out of those pages and into our hearts and awaken us on the inside. That the revelation of Jesus Christ would be manifest inside of us, Lord. And that we, Lord, would walk in the same power and authority and glory that you have given us, Lord, that it be according to the power that works in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you for you that are watching online, and give glory and praise to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.